is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. It's a holy house of prayer where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Help me sing it. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. It's a holy house of prayer where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. It's a holy house of prayer where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell.
Amen. We got several prayer requests this morning. We'll just take these. I'm going to ask Brother Rob Weber, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Continue to pray for Sister Christina Baker, who's having back problems. Also for Sister Becky Lynch's father, who has COPD, and he's being tested for possibly having cancer. So let's remember that. Please pray for my brother in the hospital for a heart attack and slight stroke, and his wife for stages of dementia. Thank you. That's from Brother Keene. Pray for Sister Lillian Vega, has sinus infection, congested, feeling weak. Brother Raymond Vega turns that in. Pastor Ray Erickson from Bluffton, Ohio. His only brother passed away just recently. Sister Dionne Glenn turns that in. Brother Louis contacted me this morning and asked us to pray for his sister Judy. She's having hip replacement on Wednesday, so let's remember that. Please pray if it be God's will that the weather will clear up for construction workers. So we'll remember that. I'm sure there's some brothers needing some work, so we'll pray for that. If you'd stand with me this morning as Brother Rob comes and takes these needs to the Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you once again. We come to you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you come. Come, make your way, Lord, here among the people. I pray, Lord God, that you'd move in this service and continue to move, Lord, in our hearts as we leave this service and go out into the day to face the world. It's something so dear to us to come together like this with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord, to be in one mind and one accord, Lord. We bring these prayer requests before you. We pray, Lord God, that you manifest yourself to these people and these needs. I thank you, Lord, for the smallest request, Lord, for the most serious request. Help us to be more sincere and to recognize the Spirit of God living in the people, Lord, to come together, Lord, in a greater way, Lord, day by day. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace for the bride. Lord, thank you for the request that you have the opportunity to come through these requests, Lord, and make your will known unto the people, Lord, that have placed them. I pray, Lord God, for all of us in this service, Lord, help us to be more sincere, that we with confidence can come to the throne of grace and ask what we have need of. In Jesus' name, amen.
By grace and Jesus. You can be seated this morning. Thank you, Brother Rob.
Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me. He turned on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. And my sins are washed. deserve, but I'm saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption story, how he brought us to the other side. It's when I reach that city, and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought us to the other side. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Sing the chorus again.
Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away.
Second verse.
When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me to the other side. Oh, when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption story of how he brought me from the other side. Oh, saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, in the book of life, and my sins,
they're all washed away.
Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Amen. So you would know, F. The brothers would like to come and take up the offering for us this evening. Also, we got a song this morning from Brother Jaden Harmon. Sister Jaden Harmon. If Jaden could come and just have a seat there behind Brother Larry and be getting ready to sing here in just a moment. And let's sing this So You Would Know.
How many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning, and you were clothed in your right mind? And didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry how much I love you? I'm beating your fence all around you. And how many nights must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning and you were alone in your right mind? And didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning and you were close in your right mind? Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you?
Amen, amen. we sure appreciate that song this morning. And that's the prettiest Brother Jaden I've ever seen in my life right there. Let's sing together, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not
again. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Tell it within me, Lord. A clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Cast me not away from thy presence. Yes, Lord, unto me, Lord, of my salvation, and renew the right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a great desire.
Amen.
Amen. I believe He will grant that to us as well. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13, if you would, today. I'd like to read again verse 30 through 33. And I wish to speak to you again today on the pressure of assimilation. Let me just repeat what I spoke to those that were here last night. So those of you that weren't here, you didn't stream the service. Last Sunday morning before I came out, I was sitting back in the study studying, and the Lord spoke these words to me. The power of assimilation, the pressure of assimilation, and the result of assimilation. We'd like to look at that again today by the help of the Lord. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went with him, they were all part of the same move, sitting in the same message, under the same prophet. But the men that went with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land. which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Lie, lie, lie. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. But they leave out the number. Only three. But they kindly leave that out. They don't want to tell everything on their website, you know, just enough to kind of raise questions about these things. And if they tell you there's only three, then you won't be near scared. So if they leave it to your imagination, three can turn into 3 million. Because the imagination of man's heart is evil. So they conveniently leave out the number. There we saw the giants, the sons of Enoch, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And of course they went up and asked them. Now if you're the congregation and you would have been standing there, would you have believed the lies of these people? Or would you have had enough boldness to walk up in their face and say, did you count them? Did you ask them, or would you just assume? Which is what a lot of people do. They just assume. And they will assume their place in hell. Because they just assume. That's why I don't assume. I don't assume. I want to know the facts, don't you? Let's pray together. Father, we so love you today. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we can be gathered together again here. We count it such an honor, Lord, to be in your presence and the presence of one another. We love you so, so very much. I pray, dear God, that you would take your word today, speak to us again. May we be illuminated by your divine presence. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, may be seated. You know, it's amazing to me that these spies have more sway and more influence among these people than does a prophet of God, Aaron, the Levites, Caleb, Joshua. And you say, what is wrong with this story? There's something bad wrong that these men, which we don't even know their names, they have no divine, supernatural vindication whatsoever that they're even telling the truth. Now, these men were handpicked, of course, out among the tribes, and yet God supernaturally never worked with them. They have no supernatural reputation. They have no supernatural divine vindication, no supernatural honor. And yet the children of Israel are going to take the words of these 10 men over the words of a vindicated prophet of God. Now, let me read you this to you this morning. Brother Homer Longoria had sent this to me. I thought it was so fitting for what was dealing with. In question answer 64, Judas had his name there on the book of life. That's exactly right. But he was condemned because what did he do? He sold out his birthrights. Esau was born in the family with the promise of God. The oldest son had the birthright. How many knows that? By a promise of God, Esau's name was on the book for the birthright. Is that right? But he swapped it for a mess of wild gourds or peas, hungry to fill his belly, his meal ticket. He swapped his birthrights for a meal ticket and could find no place to repent. Those spies that went over to spy out the land came and eat the grapes that Joshua and Caleb brought back. And yet, what did they do? Sold out their birthrights. So you imagine then people that look into our land, the message of the day, and they turn their back on that word. Not for all, some will come back. But for many of them, they sell out their birthrights and absolutely no way back. That's sad, it's pitiful, but it's true. And you and I have the choice. Now you say, well, you know, I'll tell you one thing, I don't know. Well, you've got the same choice that they do. You can do what you want. For me, I want to stick with my birthrights.
Now, with these people, as they go, and as we looked at last night, there must have been such a power of assimilation that was anointing these messengers. And remember, the word assimilate means to take in, to become one, to be influenced by the words or actions or mannerisms of other people. And you begin to become like them. And we know that we are taught that, of course, in the word, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So either we will be conformed like them, or they will be changed to be like us. And it's amazing that these men would have such an ability. It must have been supernatural, a demonic anointing that was so moving on this. And then you wonder, was it not a parallel of the time frame to where we are today? I believe it's absolutely perfect myself. And it was to prove that many of these people had no inheritance in the promised land. And there must be something on this side of the border crossing that would manifest their faith. Because remember, I quoted to you last night, that faith which cannot be tested, that kind of faith can never be relied upon. If God cannot try your faith and test your faith cannot be trusted. So these people's faiths must be tested in order to prove they have a trusted faith. Now watch what this effect does in Numbers chapter 14 verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now you imagine they had this meeting together where that the spies begin to give the report. 10 spies begin to give the negative report of the land. They bring slander upon the land. They bring reproach upon the land. They take facts and mix those facts with exaggeration. Ideas that are anointed by faith, by unbelief instead of faith. And when they do, then the facts become all muddled up. And then the facts become muddled with the exaggeration, and then they no longer remember what the facts are. And does it matter anyway? It does matter, because it's your soul we're talking about. That's exactly what's going on right now with those who are pulling away from the message. They take what they say is facts, and they mix it all together with a little bit of reason, a little bit of this, that, and other. And before long, the facts become all muddled together, and people really don't, well, it don't really matter anyhow. Yeah, you better think that it does matter, because this is our soul, as I said, that we're talking about. So now watch what happens here. And the Bible says that the people wept that night. So after the 10 give their report, after Caleb gives his report, as I noted to you last night, Joshua at this point in time doesn't say anything. So Caleb is the only one, seemingly, that is giving the right kind of report. And then they go their ways. Now when they go their ways, each tribal spy will return. The one will go back over to Asher. The one will go to Benjamin. The one will go to Levi. Will go to Naphtali. Will go to Reuben. Now once they do that, then when they go back among their tribe, then they start reiterating. Now tell me again, what was it you saw? Tell me what was it you saw? Now you imagine then as each one of these negative 10 spies go back among the 10 tribes, then they begin to exaggerate. Then it was told to so-and-so, and then he told his wife, and then somebody else heard them tell their wife, and then they told this, and my, by the time they got done, oh, you can imagine how it was. It was so exaggerated. It was so warped. It was so twisted, even from what these original 10 liars had to say. But because it become from one to another, repeated, and it just seems to be the nature of human beings to exaggerate falsehoods and limit truths. Why is it that we're that way? Why is it that if we look and find our very best for a negative thing against a preacher or some other man, and we will want to go on and on and on about that negative thing, and we want to limit so much the truth or the good about that person? Why are we that way? Why are we that way that we want to magnify and just go on and on and on the bad about this church or another church or this man or that woman? And yet, but what about the good? Oh, that don't really matter. That don't really matter. Really don't. Well, that's not the way God looks at it. God said he has a book of remembrance to write down all of those good things that are done by a person. But you see, there's something in the negativity of a fallen, unregenerate human being that tends to lean that way. So we love to magnify and go on and on and on about such things. And you imagine when they get into their tents then, it comes down from the spy talking to the tribal leaders and the tribal elders, and then they go into their houses and oh my, they go to talking about it, oh my, and then all the husbands of course would go back into their tents, and then they get in there with their families and they go to telling their wives and their children, and all that night through all the land of Kadesh Barnea, you hear the people weeping and crying and lamenting, and they are so sad, and Caleb's over there shouting his shoe heels off, thinking, man, we're 40 miles from the land. We're just 40 miles from the inheritance. And everybody else is squalling like babies. The people became assimilated into the evil, slanderous report of the spies. Now notice in verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. So now they have slandered, they have heard the slanderous report, and they have assimilated that report into their minds, into their hearts. Now they are becoming the assimilation of that report, which is lies. But they are so moved by them lies, now they are moving against the prophet of God and the ministry. Things haven't changed, have they? Just different folks with different names and different means of accomplishing the same thing. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now remember, they are less than 2 years now that they have come out of the land of Egypt. They have left slavery. They have left the bondage of being beaten. They have left all of those things that they went through. They are less than 2 years out of this land. God has performed supernatural miracle after miracle. And standing where they are in Kadesh Barnea, as I told you last night, they could have looked northward and they could see the rims of the mountains and the lands of Palestine. They could have looked westward and they would have saw the holy mountain of God by which God had told Moses he would bring him back. So this was with their naked. They were 40 miles from the land of promise. And yet they're standing right at the border. Can't you see what a parallel that it is for the hour we're living? We must be near the rapture. The defection must take place before the consummation of the body change. If folks are leaving and getting away and bringing slander on your land, it must be time for you to cross over. Yeah. Hallelujah. We must be getting close. Yeah. Oh my. Now look at what they now assimilate. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we would have died in the land of Egypt. Why didn't you leave us alone? We'd have been better off just to stay down and lived our life. Really? As a slave. In hard bondage. Your backs being beaten. If they wanted one of your wives, they'd take them. If they wanted your daughters, they'd take them. And you would have been better off to stay in that. Would to God we would have died in Egypt. Then they go on and say, oh my, would we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Of course, the wilderness they're referring to is at Paran and Taberah. Whenever God had come among the congregation, and some of them had fallen because of their unbelief. And now they're saying, I wish I'd have never even heard of this message. I wish they'd have left me alone. I just wish they'd have leave me alone. I wish I'd have died in the wilderness. Don't worry. You'll get your request before long. Verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? Now watch how they have now so assimilated this unbelief and these lies. Now they've got an attitude against the prophet. They've got an attitude against the ministry. And they're getting an attitude against God. Whether or not you want to admit it, when you get an attitude against God's prophets, you've got one against God. When you get an attitude against God called ministry, you're getting an attitude against God. It's only a matter of time till you begin to assault Him the way you're assaulting preachers. Now watch. So then they reflect. Now all of this come by what? The power of assimilation, the pressure of assimilation, and now the result of assimilation. So they have now begun to assimilate. They have begun to take this into their mind, and they mold over it inside of their hearts. And as any corruption does, the longer it sets and festers, it's like an old boil. The longer it sets and festers and it grows, and that old pus goes to oozing out of it. Come on now, children. And that's the way corruption does. It is the leaven that leavens the whole lump. So you get a bunch of ideas like this in a church or in a family, and it begins to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. My, what is it? It's old rotten corruption. That's what it is. So as they begin to assimilate all through the night, they wept and they cried and they thought about it and they got angry and they got mad. Boy, by the next morning, I'll tell you what, you talking about a kettle of hot temper ready to boil over, they was full of it. My, they said, wherefore hath the Lord? You mean they're actually going to blame God? They're going to blame God. To what? The power of assimilation. Oh, wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Oh, so now you know you're going to prophesy, are you? You're going to prophesy what God's going to do to you. To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. You shall prophesy. Isn't it amazing how we get into such deals? Now you realize the problem wasn't Moses. The problem wasn't the land. The problem wasn't God. The problem was them. They were slave schooled cowards that were afraid to fight for their inheritance. They still had this slave mentality of bondage because they had not received the liberation of the message of their day from their soul. Many of them had come out of the land of Egypt, but Egypt had never left their soul. We brought many Baptists to this message, and they were still Baptists in this message. We have brought Pentecostals into the message, and that's all they were, Pentecostals in the message. We brought Church of Christ and Nazarenes and Methodists and so on. But I'm so glad that I come out of Pentecost into the message, but I assimilated the message and I become accepted into the tribe of Judah. That I am no longer a message believer, Pentecostal, but I believe to the tribe of Judah. Glory. Oh, their mind is wandering and their heart is assimilated with this unbelief. God hates us. God's out to get us. Now God's going to do this and God's going to do that. Look in verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Oh. So you see, they don't want a prophet now. They don't want a priest. They don't want a Levite. They want a captain. A political figurehead. A great man. Or what we call him, say a businessman. Let us make a businessman. And why would they want a captain? Because a captain has the ability to understand ranks. And of course, Moses, you know, he's just a prophet. And then you got Joshua, and then you got, what kind of thing have we have of this? But a mess. And it's nothing but a family deal anyway. I mean, Moses is a prophet. Aaron, his brother, is the priest. And then Aaron's sons is the one that's going to be the ministry. And then Miriam, of course, she leads the music in the church. She plays the tambourine, does all the shouting and the dancing. So the whole thing ain't nothing but a whole family deal. It was a family deal. The family of God deal. Praise the Lord. But it depends on how you look at it. So they said, I'll tell you what we need to do. I'm sick of all this prophet stuff. We need to get us a captain.
That'll take us back to Laodicea. You defectors have got you one. As a matter of fact, you got more than one.
They said one to another. Now watch this spirit now of assimilation. Boy, that's coming unity. This assimilation is just festering all over the whole camp.
So they begin to, the Spirit moves among them. We need a captain. Don't you think so, brother? Yes, sir. Glory to God. I feel it all over me. Let's go back to Egypt. Hallelujah. Let's get out from under this prophet's message. We can't bob our hair. We can't wear makeup out here. We can't dress like Egypt. We can't shout and dance like the Egyptian. I'm ready to go back to Egypt. Of course, no true prophet of God or no true servant of God would lead you to hell. Only a blind led of sin would lead you to hell, because he's blind himself. And the church said, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now what's the true ministry? Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, and they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good message. Oh, sure, there's a human element there. That's not what we're feeding on. We're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. It's a good message. Point me to another message that contains what it does. Is there giants in there? Yes. Is there things that we don't understand? Yes. But that don't take the good sustenance out that lays in that land. Don't you understand? Our land is our message. Our walk with God. Our position in Christ. Amen. So they're saying it's a good land. It's there. Listen, he said in verse 8, if the Lord delights in us. Now notice what they're doing. They're saying exact opposite of what they said. They said the Lord hates us and the Lord don't love us. And they're saying you're so wrong. The Lord loves you. That's why he gave you this message. The Lord Jesus loved you, sister, so much. He didn't want you to go to the tribulation period, and some of you wind up being lost. So he sent you a prophet of God that would tell you the truth or let your hair grow out. And the devil hated you so much, he sent you spies to tell you it don't matter. If the Lord delight in us, then he... Notice where these believers are focusing to. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us. Amen. He will bring us under this land and give it us. A land which flows with milk and honey. But they are so assimilated into these lies, they refuse to believe the truth. So here's a prophet of God, here's the ministry, here's Joshua and Caleb, eyewitnesses. And their words are as if though it was just seed been sown on the wind. Notice what they go on to say. Rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Now can you imagine their assimilated hearts saying, you're a bunch of nuts. They have told us them giants are 150 feet tall. There's thousands of them. They're everywhere. They're like fleas. They lied to you. There's only three sons of Anak. And Caleb said, if you're worried about them, I'll take them on myself. Hallelujah. If you're afraid of them, I'll take them on myself. The Lord will give it us. The Lord will bring his promise to pass. The Lord will do it. Don't fear the people of the land. Good Lord, this man is nuts. They are bread for us. So some of you that think sometimes I'm insane, this type of insanity runs in my family. Amen! They are bread for us.
and Caleb is saying, they are no more than a piece of bread that you take a knife and cut through it. They are powerless before us. They're a bunch of weaklings before us. We will use their houses to launch attacks. We will use their force to establish our own kingdom. They are bread for us. They've done all of this work and we'll move in and take it over. The rent's done been paid. The power's done turned on. The water is running. The sewer's hooked up. They are bread for us. Oh, hallelujah. I thought I'd be nice tonight, but I think I've changed my mind. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Now this is a real believer that's looking in the eyes of the Word of God through the eyes of faith. Can you imagine? You don't think this man was lying, do you? He actually saw something that these other 10 so-called message people didn't see. He actually saw that their defense was gone. Oh Lord. They have no heart. When you look at these words, it's amazing. They have no heart to fight. Their spirit has left them. They are so afraid of us, they're not even willing to fight. And these other 10 liars, they project these at their great, mighty men, and they're waiting for you to come over when the truth was. The Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites. They were so scared of these people of God, they didn't even have a will to fight them. Can you imagine what they thought when they heard that God delayed them? And they said, boy, that was close. They thought they were defeated. They had no... Lord, children... I would to God that God would help us to see. For those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the demons of hell look at you and they know you are an army that cannot be defeated. They know no matter what they bring against you, you come right back up. No matter how they afflict you, you bounce up. No matter how much they get you down, you come right up. And they look at you as an invincible army. But that same army will try to anoint other people. Oh God, it's so bad. I don't know what we're going to do. What if they throw Brother Donnie in jail? Are you kidding me? They want a holy roller full of the Holy Ghost in jail. I better learn from the book of Acts what results you have on that. Oh my, what if they're going to press against Brother Donnie? What if they're going to do this? If they do, God will allow them to do so. But they cannot touch us until our Father allows it. So the enemy's lost heart. They've lost desire to fight. But Satan is causing these 10 message people to project this army is so strong. They're waiting for you. They're challenging you. Come on, you want to fight? We'll show you. And rather than say, what's the latest from Happy Valley? What's the latest from Eden Light Church? What's the latest from Zimbabwe? Oh no, are they still believing the message with all of their hearts? The strength of their bodies are gone. The strength of their spirit is gone. Now you can imagine now how Caleb seemed to these other people. They've all got their minds made up. He's been out in the sun too long. I mean, look at the poor guy. We all know that the name Caleb means dog. Huh? You didn't know that? So what could a person whose name is Reagan or dog or whatever, what could they amount to anyway? Now come on. What kind of parents would name a child a dog? Unless, of course, I saw something in that child that was bad. So why would any of you want to listen to a dog? Well, glory. So you sends a dog. And the dog says, thou strength is gone. God delights in us. And we're more than able. The rest of these people, they're standing there. Of course, they've got this businessman from so-and-so, and he works for so-and-so, and this and does so-and-so, and this and does so-and-so, and this and does so-and-so, and this one's got a BA degree, and a dum-dum degree, and a ho-ho degree, and a ha-ha degree, and whatever kind of degrees. And look at these poor old message preachers. They're so stupid. I mean, they're dogs. Right. Right. As long as I'm a brother to Caleb, call me what you want to call me. Don't even bother me. Don't slow me down. Matter of fact, it gives me more fuel for my fire. Notice what they say. Neither fear the people, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Happy Valley, do you believe the Lord is with us? Then fear them not. Okay, so Caleb preaches his sermon. And then in verse 10, this is the response of the congregation. And all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And then God shows up. Now they're standing conveniently, predestinatedly, at the door of the tabernacle. Church, of course. Of course, if you miss Sunday service that day, you're in a mess of trouble either way. And when the congregation bade stone them with stone, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now the anger rages against the prophet of God. The anger rages against Aaron. It rages against Caleb. And whenever it does, God shows up and envelops him in his glory. And he said, you want to attack? You want to throw a stone? Throw it at me. Oh my. Let's look in verse 21. God gets mad. Brother, sister, when you make God mad, I'm telling you, you've got somebody to deal with him. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What's the result of assimilation? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant, Caleb. Caleb's name was called out of the middle of a curse. Here is God cursing these unbelievers, but he reaches right down in the book of life and pulls Caleb's name right out of the middle of that curse. Don't you understand? God's reached down right in the middle of Laodicea with its blindness and its darkness and its coldness and called your name out. You imagine the anger of the judge, the anger of God. You will not see my land. This will not go on. That will not go on. Then God said, but my servant, Caleb. If you'd like to look this up and check me out on this, Strong's number 3612. Caleb means dog. The godly son of Jephunneh and the faithful spy who reported the promised land favorably and urged its capture. Caleb is an interesting character indeed. It seems he's not a Jew. He's an Edomite. A Gentile. Now y'all don't have to be nice either if you don't want to. He stood up there for that word. He had more to
grateful for than them that was born in the message. Oh, glory to God. He was an outcast. He was a dog.
May the Lord God of heaven say this about me. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. What kind of spirit was it, Brother Jim? Different than what these people had. And have followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now what's amazing is that the scripture says that Caleb was the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite. The Kenizzite. Not of Judah. Well, glory. When you trace his lineage in First Chronicles, you find out the history of his family. He was actually adopted into the tribe of Judah. Which means praise. I got adopted into that same tribe. Apparently some of y'all got into the adopted tribe of no emotion or setting. Or not moving, or not even batting your eyes. I somehow have not found that listed in the 12 tribes. Now Israel, God's provision of grace, knowing that there would be Gentiles, Lord have mercy, there would be Gentiles all along the journey that would be assimilated into the tribes of Israel. They did not have a 13th tribe, which would be for the Gentiles that would come in. Amen. But when a Gentile would come in, he would be assimilated into one of the original 12 tribes.
Lord have mercy.
In this case, Caleb assimilated into the tribe of Judah. Now what's the mystery of this identity actually is disclosed in the departure of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude. Now look at this word, because it can be used both ways. It can be used spiritually in saying that there were believers and unbelievers that were together. But when you really look at the Hebrew word, it is not showing it just spiritually alone. It is showing you a mixture of nations. Actually, some Egyptians came out of Egypt. You see, Egypt had all kinds of slaves. So Caleb's family was tied into the slavery under Pharaoh, even though he wasn't a Jew. So when they come out, a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. Now in this mixed multitude were Canaanites, it was Egyptians, and it was Israelites. Yet when they heard the message of a prophet of God to come out, they came out. And some of them assimilated into the tribes of Israel, and some did not, and caused trouble further down the road. Which is where we are today. Are you talking about a beautiful parallel? Oh my. Now watch this in Numbers chapter 11 verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Here are the ones who did not assimilate into the message of the hour, but they were around it. And they claimed Moses as their prophet. And they said they believed every word he said. But they always was mixed multitude. Amen. but not Caleb.
Amen.
You see, Rahab actually was an Amorite. Ruth was a Moabite. Caleb was a Kenizzite. And all three of them assimilated into the tribe of Judah. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, which was the tribe that our Lord Jesus and the natural descent came out of. So Rahab, the Amorite, Ruth, the Moabite, amen, Caleb, the Kenizzite, merged. What did they do? They so assimilated into the move of God for the day, they were identified as real believers. They were allowed to assimilate into the kingly tribe. Can't you see why I'm happy? Can't you see why I love this word? Can't you see why I cannot turn my back on this word? I was a dog. I was an Amorite. I was a Moabite, whatever you want to call me. And I have been allowed to be assimilated into this word to give birth to Christ, the word. What could you ever offer me? What could you ever offer me, Laodicea, that would be better than giving birth to the King of Kings? You see, dogs in the Eastern culture were some of the lowest animals of the creation. They were thought less than a donkey, a jackal, a coyote, a lion. They were so looked down upon by tribe after tribe, nation after nation of the East. So then you think, what would make parents call their son dog? Unless, of course, Caleb was an outcast all of his life. Glory to God. An outcast out of his home. An outcast out of his family. But he finally found a home. Notice this in Joshua 14:6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Yes, sir. Genesis 36:10. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Edom, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Now, Caleb might have looked over here in the natural genealogy in the book of life, and it didn't say too many good things about him. But he must have had a revelation to look beyond that book and trips on over just a little bit farther into the Lamb's book of life. And he found his name written with a line to the tribe of Judah. I'm trying to be nice, but it's getting harder and harder. Joshua 14:13, and Joshua blessed him and gave him to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Not because he was born in the right lineage. Not because he was born in the right tribe. Don't you see? That had more credit with God than being born a Jew.
Lord, surely, can't you see? If people don't want this message, fine, let them go on. God will raise up alley rats. God will raise up all my prostitutes and homosexuals and drunks. He will not allow His table not to be full. You don't want to eat on this word? Go on then. God will raise up people that love this way. And they'll follow Him with all of their heart. Hallelujah. Joshua 15:13. And under Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah. He wasn't born naturally to have that part. But the Holy Ghost, Joshua in type, gave him that part. Why isn't this said about the other people? Because it don't apply to them that way, Brother Skip. This is so amazing how that the writer of the book of Joshua wanted it pointed out that Caleb did not deserve this because he was born in the right message family. He was born outside the ranks of the message. He wasn't born in the tribe of Judah, but he was given that part. You're not a Jew. Oh no, we was dogs and all that, but we were born by the breath of God and given a part of the king line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Donnie, the son of Don and Betty Reagan, was given a part among the elect of God. Put your name in there. Did I deserve it? Oh no, no, no more now than then. Was I worthy? No, no more. But I was given a part, and to her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white. It was a grant. It was a grant. God gave you a part. Amen. Can't you see why others can leave and walk away and blast this word? They was not given this part. It don't mean the same to them. If it meant to them what it meant to me, they'd be here at this altar repenting and begging for mercy, but it don't mean the same. And then to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to the Holy Ghost, Joshua and type. Even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Arba came from Saudi Arabia. He brought the stream or the genetic code of the giants from Saudi Arabia. So he comes and settles down in Caleb's future home. Bad mistake. He'd been better off to move into Benjamin. Benjamin would have let him live. They did later. Read your Bible in the book of Judges and you'll find out Benjamin let him live. Joseph let him live. Different ones let him live. Not Caleb. God was not just going to give Caleb the three sons of Anak. He's going to let him move right into the original district where it started.
I told Carol last Sunday as we were sitting at the table after we went home. I said, you understand what God did for us? You understand what God has done for us after the cross? He gave us our souls back. Man's soul was where the problem was. Abraham never got his back by new birth. David never got his back by new birth. He loved God and he had a seed there. But David never became the master of a new birth soul. But after the cross, the Lord God has given back to his elect the source of your problem. He don't just want to get rid of the sons of Anak, but he want to give you the city of Arba.
and the city of your armor was your soul. So he gave you back your soul. And when he gave it back to you, he gave it back to you converted, born again by the breath of God. Now it says, here you are. This is the cause. This is the cause. I've born it again. I've reversed it. Now I give it back to you.
Lord Jesus, isn't it amazing that when Moses is getting ready to choose 12 spies out of all the great men of Judah, he chooses one that's grafted in to represent the tribe. You imagine some of them, I've been in a message for 50 years. How come I didn't get to go? Here, he's a dog. He's a Gentile. He's an Edomite. He's from Esau. He ain't one of us. Well, didn't he used to be in Pentecost? So Moses, he ain't going to be any, meeny, miny, mo, because that don't work, you know, as you show. So by the Holy Ghost, Moses picks out one that was grafted in. His name got called by the prophet's message. Imagine, okay, to walk him up and all my feelings. I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Kenizzite. I've had this tattoo since I was a boy. I've been an outcast. I've never been really loved. Never had the right kind of family upbringing and all that. Brother, I'm not worthy. God has told me to call your name. It ain't no wonder when he come back, he's like a baby rooster. Let's go, come on, come on, boy, let's go, come on. All right, you big neck people, come on, you bunch of devils. How can he do it? He appreciated grace. He appreciated the promises of God. He wasn't a Baptist pew warmer in a message church. He had a real inheritance. He was not a Pentecostal pew warmer in a message church. He was dyed in the wool, assimilated in the tribe of Judah. What had he done? He took on the tribal banner. The lion. He was lying from the soul, not lying from the mouth. Now watch in Joshua 15:16. When Caleb gets his inheritance, Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh him to him, will I give Asaph, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, which means lion of God. L-I-O-N. Somebody hold my Bible. I'm fixing to run off. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. So there's more than one out of that hatching, out of that setting, that was called of God. And remember in the Old Testament, many times, like in this situation, when it calls Othniel the son of Kenaz, they would even call the grandfather, that you would be the son of Kenaz, when actually it was your father. So they would say son of Kenaz or son of Jephunneh, which would be father and grandfather. So here is Othniel, the lion of God. Now remember, Othniel was a young boy under 20 years old. Whenever the unbelievers were smitten, that they would not go through the promised land. But Othniel had been taught the right teaching by dog. So here now, Othniel, oh Lord of mercy, Othniel moves into the land under the administration of Joshua. And he hears his big brother say, there's a portion of land over here, and anybody that will take that land, I'll give them my wife, my daughter, to be their bride. And the line of God says, I'll do it. I'll do it. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Esther, his daughter, to be wife. Amen. So then what happens to Brother Othniel? Actually, Brother Othniel becomes a judge. Judges chapter 3 verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. Who delivered them? Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. Uh-oh. So he told them what they could do and what they couldn't do, where they could go and where they couldn't go. Yep, that's the line of God, all right. Othniel wasn't called the chicken of God. He wasn't called a turkey buzzard. He was called a lion. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered, whatever that guy's name was, of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against whatever his name was, and the Lord had, the land, the same land they had slandered under the ministry of Othniel, had rest. Another Gentile. Let's stand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My dear friends and blessed children of the Almighty God, will we bow to the pressure of assimilation of this age? Or will we yield to the pressure of this 2-inch pipe from heaven, which has all the glory and all the power and all the wealth of God pouring down this pipe, and here you are at the bottom of it, and all that pressure is building against you? I want to yield to the assimilation of deity. Let me be so assimilated into this message. I was not one of the preachers that Brother Branham got to lay his hands on. I was not one of them that Brother Branham ever called my name. I've looked in the message to see if the word Donnie was there, and it is D-O-N-N-Y, but it ain't Donnie Reagan, it's Donnie Morton. So I didn't find my natural name in the message, but I did find my name in the book. You understand what I'm saying? My identity. Am I worthy? I'm not. Should I be called to be one that would represent this land when it's been so attacked and so murdered? Am I worthy to be called to be one? Are you worthy to be called to be one that will stand in this last day and said this word is the truth? Let me tell you this. I may go to hell. I ain't going to. But I may. Every one of you may go to hell. You ain't going to either. Half of the message people so call may wind up being lost. It don't change one iota about this message being the truth. Well, Brother Donnie, people turning away means it ain't right. You are a liar. Them people turning away from Moses' message did not mean the Moses' message wasn't right. It meant they weren't right.
Over 600,000 men when they leave out of the land of Egypt. 2.5 million people with women and Jews. And everybody from 20 years old and under was the only ones that lived to see the land. Hundreds of thousands of them died in the wilderness. Did that change the message? It did not. When God told them, you'll do this and you'll do this and you'll do this, the very next chapter, the very first verse of the next chapter says, and when you be come into your land. God said, now that we've dealt with that, let's deal with this. It's going to be 40 years before this comes to pass. But God knew it would come to pass. Donnie the Pentecostal, you the Baptist, you the prostitute, you the drunk, you the homosexual, you the cigarette sucker, you the message pew warmer.
If we can allow ourselves to be submitted to God, maybe God will graft us in to the tribe of Judah. For we can stand for Him in this day and be identified. Let the sons of Anak scream and holler. Let them twist what we say. Let them cut and splice and take bits of this and that and the other. Let them do whatever. It don't change our land. Brother Donnie, ain't you afraid it's falling apart? Look for him. The only thing, my greatest fear, let me just be honest with you this morning. My greatest fear that I'm facing is as I study this word and as I preach it, I'm afraid that one day I'll become so anointed, I'll actually disappear before you. There's been a few times I felt like I was fixing it. And I don't know what some of y'all would do. You mean you're not afraid it won't work? I don't have even the slightest question that it won't work. You mean you're not worried that this message is not right? I am not worried at all. You mean with all the questions has been questions where? Questions where? Question been right by Brother W. Not in you? No. My brother died, Brother Branham was a man. Really? You mean it took you 40 years to figure that out? Moses was one. Joshua was one. Caleb was one. That don't change nothing. Hallelujah. And you're stood dog with the odds of 10 to 1
against him. Reputable men. Men of great names, great character. And here a dog is going to stand there and tell them, brothers, I'm certainly one board out of season. And just said, amen. Got that right.
But all I know, it's what I see when I look in here.
But Brother Donnie, you need to get in your Bible. No, preach the message. Oh, you mean there's a difference? I preach this message from this Bible. I've been preaching this Bible for 40 years. Some of you that think you know so much, anytime you'd like to sit and have discuss it with me, I'd be more than happy to. I do know what I talk about. I do know what I believe. And I can sit down with the doctrines that we preach. I don't have to use a quote. Because it comes the foundation from this book. The quotes will make it clearer, but it comes from this Bible.
Hallelujah.
So what about it? Is there any Othniels in here with me this morning? Any lions of God?
Hallelujah.
Well, you said, Brother Donnie, what about our sisters? Oh, I didn't read you them next verses, did I? You see, whenever Caleb stands up there and makes this declaration, one of Caleb's daughters comes running down through there and jumps off of her donkey. And she comes up to her father and says, Father, he said, what is it, my daughter? She said, will you give me an inheritance? Up to this time, it was mainly sons.
But under the ministry of the dog, even the women got finding out they had a position in Christ. They wasn't going to be preachers now, and they wasn't going to do all that. But he gave her a certain portion of property, and he gave her a spring. Waters, amen, that's it. The well of waters in St. John 7:37 is not just for brothers. It's for you, my sisters. It's for you, young women. Power of assimilation, pressure of assimilation, the result of assimilation. You imagine for 40 years, he'd gather them young people around him, and they'd go to talking about that land, okay, the glory to God, feel it all over me, and say, my goodness. And that was awesome, Al, a little bitty guy. But he'd sit there at the feet of his brother. And he hear these things. He waited all those years till he finally moved into his inheritance. And then Caleb walked up to the Holy Ghost and said, you remember what the prophet of God said, don't you? Hang on to your false teeth. I'm not afraid to remind God today. He said there'd be preachers in this last day that stand for this message. Lord God, remember me. Remember me, Lord God, when my enemies gather round about me. Remember me, Lord God, when they twist my words. Remember me, Lord God, where you said there'd be preachers in the last day that would not compromise. Come on. Amen. Years ago, when I first started preaching this message, I could say the prophet said, these young men will take this message. I can't quote that anymore for me. I'm a has-been when it comes to that. But I believe the Lord knew he needed some Calebs in this message. We've got enough diplomats and we've got enough message preachers that's not going to say anything to hurt anybody and make anybody mad. So we need some Calebs and Arsenals.
You say, Brother Donnie, do you really think we need this?
Well, let me ask you, if you had something around your home that you wanted to protect it, have you ever seen anybody with a watch chicken? You pull up in the driveway and say, this place is protected by a watch chicken. And standing over a chain with a big log chain is a Rhode Island Red. But what if you see a Rottweiler? Or a pit bull? If you can imagine, I'm the cross between a Rottweiler and a pit bull and about every other mean breed you can imagine. So pardon me if I don't have polite pit manners.
Oh, my. Don't you love him, children? I just feel like stopping right now. Go over, sit down in that corner. And just cry for the rest of the evening. Who are we? That he would let us be grafted into the tribe of Judah. Brother Dow, who are we? Who are we? Lord Jesus, I knew today was going to be awesome. I just didn't realize it'd be this awesome. What can we say? We who were dogs, liars, some of our past is so awful. We won't even share it with people we go to church with. Because it would be so ashamed for them to know what we were. Yet, Lord God, somehow, we have received the engrafted word. And we've become so assimilated into the body that we'll stand there that day and shake hands with Peter and Paul and James and those great men of God. Oh God, help us. I'm not just speaking about preachers. I'm speaking about those laity. Those who love you, Jesus, with all of their heart. We've been engrafted into this tribe. Into the kingly line. Hallelujah. I mean, of course, according to custom and tradition, it would have been unbecoming for a king to marry a pauper. So you made a way that you could give our family kingly status. Glory. So if you could eradicate our old births, that birth certificate that we had on that natural book of life, and we could be reborn into a kingly line, that it would be becoming for the king to marry the king's daughter. All you need to do is to eradicate our old birth record. Lord, you gave me my soul back. The people of this age don't have their souls. Satan is the master of their souls, so they basically do what he commands them to do. But by a new birth, you gave me my soul back. Adam forfeited my ownership to my soul. But you placed my soul back in my hands. Thank you, Lord. Then all the giants that face me, they will be able to be conquered. Because I've got Hebron. I've got my Hebron. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whatever sons come against me, whatever giants attack me, let me remember my inheritance is from Hebron. Help us today, Lord Jesus. We don't say this arrogantly or proud. We say it through the grace of God. Lord Jesus, if you've chosen me, chosen these people, chosen our brothers and sisters around the world to be witnesses of this land, let people slander it if they want to. Let them bring an evil report against the land. We are willing to allow our voices to be heard that we take up for this land. It's a good land. Lord, and if the numbers become so reversed that they're 10 times greater than we are, that doesn't change one thing. It's still the truth. Let our voices echo down through heaven. Let my voice echo down to hell. That I am identified with this prophet and with this message. If need be, let it echo through the halls of Congress. Let it echo through the White House. Let the FBI know it or whoever more. Homeland Security. That I'm identified with this word. For this word does not teach us to kill people. This word does not teach us to mutilate, fly airplanes into buildings. It does not teach us to destroy people. It teaches us to set them free. Not to bring divorce in their home, but peace in their home. Our message does not teach them to drink. It teaches them to be free from drinking. It does not teach them to become addicted to sex and pornography and alcohol. But it teaches to be liberated from such. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God Adonai, we worship you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King, if you would, friends. Thank God's grace upon each of our lives. That He's allowed us and give us a part with the tribe of Judah. We're brought in the same kingly line as Rahab and Ruth and Caleb. Praise God. In the line of the tribe of Judah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have so assimilated this word that the result is a crown on your head. Lord God, the result of your assimilation to this word will be one day you'll be standing in front of the mirror brushing your teeth or combing your hair or on the job driving a nail, and all of a sudden a sweep will come over you, and you'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and you'll disappear, and you'll come up missing on the earth with the rest of the group, and they can't find you no more. That will be the result of you assimilating this word. You refuse to believe the evil reports against your land. The slanders that was made on one website or one forum or another, whatever. You refuse to believe it. You believe the reports of a prophet of God and a ministry under that prophet. And yes, some of them might have been dogs. They might have been this and that and the other. But they had the courage to stand and tell you the truth. Praise God. Lord Jesus, may we so assimilate this truth. It totally eradicates all hate out of our heart for people. God forbid that we would hate anyone because of race, creed, color, or church they would go to. Even those who hate us, may we never get an attitude that we would hate anyone. How could Caleb be able to hate other people of Israel and other people in the tribes? Even though how could he hate the ten? Oh, he stood there, no doubt, with burning something in his heart. Lord, he was such a recipient of such a grace. How could I hate today? I hate sin. I hate the devil. I hate what he does to people. But Lord, I know no one that I hate. I forgive all those who trespass against me. I forgive in the person of Christ every one of those who have delighted in trying to break me. I forgive those, Lord, who've tried to destroy me. I forgive them and I'll hold no grudge against them. And I pray if they can be forgiven, you will forgive them, Lord. We want no bitterness. We want no hatred in our hearts. If you have engrafted me into this tribe, who am I? Who am I to turn down mercy for others if you would extend it to them, Lord? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You love Him, children. With all your hearts. How does it feel today to be royalty? For ye are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just worship Him now. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This is the way we were grafted in. Hallelujah. And given a part in the line of the tribe of Judah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship Him together now, saints. If you can, for a few moments, try to lay your past behind you, Caleb. Try to lay behind you if you can that maybe you were a molested child. That you come from a home where your mama didn't really love you. Your mama and your daddy left you and you become an orphan. Or turned over to foster parents. Try to lay aside that you've never really felt accepted your whole life. Many of you, you let those things hinder you. But it sure didn't hinder Caleb. Apparently didn't come from a normal family. Wasn't loved. Didn't have a lot of positive views about himself. But it never stopped him at all. Would one of you name your kids dog? You love them more than that, don't you? Would you name them poodle? Or German shepherd? Or pit bull? But this man's parents named him such. He was treated such. But he rose above every bit of that. Become one of the great leaders of the Bible.
It's time for some of you to grow past your hurts, your scars, instead of using them as crutches to hide behind. It's time some of you grow up. Come on, children. Sure, you've got fears and complexes and you've been abused. I understand all about that. My whole life's been full of it. You don't even know to this day what I'm going through, how I'm being persecuted. And neither am I going to spend time to share it, because there's more positive things to talk about. Why should I think about all that negative and focus on all of that when there's a rapture getting ready to take place? Hallelujah! You can spend all your time on your hurts and spend all your time on your scars and spend all your time on that. Or you can start looking at where God has grafted you into. Well, my mama didn't love me. Sure, that's exactly right for some of you. And I'm really sorry that you had a mama that didn't love you, or a daddy, or you wasn't raised in that right kind of home. And I'm sorry for that. But you got to go on. Well, my husband done this and my wife done that. I know, I'm sorry, but you've got to go on. Come on, Caleb, are you going to go on? Or are you going to stay there and rot in the wilderness of your complexes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. But Brother Donnie, there's giants on that. I know that. I don't expect to go over and find them playing in a sandbox with tinker toys. I'm not expecting to walk over there and as soon as they see me, they just take up and run off. I know there's going to be a fight. But I was born to fight. I was born in the tribe of Judah. I was not born as a chicken to be my symbol. A chicken is not my tribal banner. Come on, Judah.
Glory.
We are born in the army of the living God. We are not cowards. We are not chickens. We will arise and take our inheritance. Hallelujah!
I am redeemed. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. But when I hear you whisper, shall lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We fall down.
Thank you, Lord God.
We lay our crown.
Thank you, Jesus.
At the feet of Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
The greatness of mercy and at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. At the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. thy God is with thee, people. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. We're walking in faith.
Children's bread and give it to dogs. True master, let the dogs feed from the crumbs from the master's table. Brother, sister, we ain't just got crumbs. I feel like we've sat at the banqueting table today. Oh, Lord. We've had a 7-course meal right here in the presence of the King. All 7 seals are opened and ready for those who can receive the Word of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We'll sing this together. Keep ruminating as you go. And eat yourself to a body change. Keep feasting on this word. Oh, Lord. I tell you one thing. I think it'd be pretty awesome right here on a Sunday one day when we're having church and we reach this place and the Lord looks down and says, you know what, Happy Valley? Y'all are closer to my house than you are to yours. Why don't you just come on up? Hallelujah. Let's sing it, Caleb.
Amazing grace.
What about it, Rahab?
What about it, Ruth? What about it, Osamel? That shame. I give. We all get over there together, Jew and Gentile, the whole thing. When we've been there, Gentile, bright shining man. Thank you, Lord. With all my heart, go in the fear of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See you Wednesday night.